Hello, this is Barb Pello. I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted to welcome you to the Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar, looking into a crystal ball for the print industry in 2015. It's sponsored by Canon Solutions America, and I'll be your presenter today in terms of the overall presentation. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendee widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video we play leading up to the webinar, you can always click on this widget for more information. And so let's get started. First of all, I think we all know that it's a new year. In business, change sometimes happens more frequently or more quickly than expected or even desired. Transformative technologies arrive very, very quickly, and economies start to shift. Print service providers that meet that change head-on by adapting to market conditions, taking the time to expand their service offerings, and investing in the right technology mix to support the delivery of those new services and improve operational excellence are going to be in the best position to power growth and profitability in 2015. Now, if you think about the market, if the past is any indicator of the future, providers that have embraced and adapted to a lot of those changing technologies and business conditions and customer demands are those that are experiencing the highest growth. InfoTrends just completed a study, and it's titled Production Printing Services in North America, Understanding the Industry Transformation. And we talked to more than 400 of your peers in the marketplace. The big message inside of this was that those firms that were experiencing double-digit revenue growth generated 26% of their revenues from value-added services. The service providers with revenue growing 10-plus percent also indicated that about a third of digital printing volume, monochrome and color, included variable data. What we also saw with these print service providers was that they were doing a good job at allocating more to business development opportunities. And, in fact, those companies that grew 10-plus percent had 25% of their resources tied up in both marketing and sales. What they've learned is that they became very, very productive, and they optimized operational efficiency. And the end result was they could now invest more in the development of new business opportunities. And I mentioned that these high-growth PSPs are growing through variable data. Print-for-pay organizations that had revenues that grew 10-plus percent indicated that 32% of volume on monochrome devices was variable, and 34% of volume on digital color devices was variable. And those most successful service providers were also those that were incredibly successful with web-to-print. And, in fact, what they told us was that 33.8% of their revenues actually came from web-enabled services. Now, that being the backdrop, what we're going to be doing is talking about those game changers for 2015. 2015 offers the potential to become a banner year, and what we see are really three forces converging. First of all, one of the big things that we're seeing is marketers are upping their investments, expanding methods to engage customers. Now, with them upping their investment, what it's going to do is drive new service provider requirements, and it's going to create the potential for new revenue opportunities for you and your business. Service providers are applying strategically new technology investments to open up new application markets, and they're getting very, very innovative with the use of some of these emerging technologies, and we're going to talk about that. The last component is there's an industry-wide focus on strengthening workflow, staffing, and educational infrastructure. That's all designed to improve efficiency and grow businesses. So it's more marketing dollars, it's emerging technologies, and it's a focus on strengthening those infrastructures. And each of those forces is reshaping the competitive landscape, and it offers a number of opportunities for service providers To guide firms in harnessing the benefits of these marketing forces, we really took some time to identify those top trends that are expected to have the greatest impact, and we're going to offer you some recommendations on harnessing the power of that potential. Now, one of the things that we learned is that marketing investments are going to continue to accelerate as we look at 2015. What's interesting is in 2014, marketers really receive a healthy portion of their company's budget. But this year, they're going to receive an even heartier serving. According to the Gartner report titled CMO Spend 2015, Eye on the Buyer, companies spent an average of 10.2% of their annual revenue on marketing in 2014. Half of the companies surveyed expect to increase that spend in 2015, and they're reporting an average budget boost of 10.4%. What it means is that the market leaders are currently outpacing their competitors to increase 2015 marketing spend by 13.6%. Now, during 2015, the success of print service providers will be linked to helping marketers with those cross-channel targeted marketing initiatives. And service providers are going to need to address a number of key trends in marketing spend. Let's talk a little bit about those. The first of these is really the whole concept surrounding data mining and analytics. And what we're seeing is that data capture and analytics are no longer optional for marketers. Marketers are seeking partners that can help them actually convert information into action. And they want to do that through effective and personalized communication. Marketing executives are looking for ways to gain insight into that buyer's total journey. Organizations today, believe it or not, have more data than ever before. But what they need help with is analyzing that data, segmenting the data, and then crafting those messages to ensure that relevant content can reach the right target at the right time. We're also seeing that businesses that use a scientific approach in communicating with customers make fewer mistakes and achieve much greater profitability. What does this mean for you as a print service provider? It means that now is the time to invest in data skills, or you're going to need to find partners that can support your customers' initiatives with data-oriented applications so that you become an integral part of where they want to go. Enterprises, when you take a look at the marketplace, have faced challenges with collecting that data, managing it, and applying the deluge of data for over 2 decades. They've got those massive CRM databases. They're loading up data warehouses with transactional and demographic and behavioral data. The net of it is that what we're seeing, and one of my favorite quotes from Peter Sondergaard from Gartner is that, information is the oil of the 21st century, and analytics are the combustion engine. It means that these marketers want to do comprehensive click tracking. They want to be able to understand preference management for customer communication. They're going to need to deal with geolocation. They're going to want transactional data to feed those personalized recommendations. And they're going to want to monitor social conversations to understand what's actually happening with their customer base. Now, the interesting part about all of this is this is an infographic that's published by Formstack, and it was published on January 6, 2015. And what it highlights is that organizations that effectively, and I underline effectively, use personalized marketing see an average of a 19% bump in sales. What that means is those data skills are critical to your customers, and they're going to be critical to your organization. And I like to give examples of companies that we're seeing leverage the concepts surrounding data. One of my favorites is SG360, and they've really taken a data-driven approach. What they've done is they're leveraging a methodology that was actually created by Harvard educator and author Dr. Howard Moskowitz. And what they're doing is they're really offering a service that they call Empirical Insights. And what that does is it provides clients with the ability to identify the unique individual preferences, and that's both likes and dislikes, of their customers. And they're using a model that was developed by Moskowitz. And what it does is it combines psychology, marketing, and math. What SG360 has proven is that the application of this methodology can help their clients achieve significant improvements in sales, profitability, and overall customer loyalty. Another great example where we've seen a lot of activity is GLS companies out of Minneapolis. And what happened is GLS acquired actually an agency in 2013. The agency's name was Next. And what they did is they used this acquisition to strengthen its integrated multi-channel marketing capabilities. And when you look at the acquisition, what they've done is it's had a substantial impact on their ability to offer a whole new array of services ranging from multi-channel engagement, one-to-one messaging, mass customization, and it includes on-demand, digital, and database solutions for their customer base. What they've done is they've taken an interesting position in that they've rebranded Next Communication, but what they've done is they've kept the name, but what they've done is they've inserted a tagline which says it's powered by GLS. And so that gives GLS a broad portfolio of services, and it really helps them deliver on that promise of full-service marketing, ranging from strategy all the way through to data analytics and predictive modeling. What happens is the customers can print, mail, fulfill through GLS, but they've also built out the service through Next called Precision Marketing. So two very different strategies, one grown organically and another through acquisition. Now, the next big message in all of this is that mobile wins. And during 2014, Google CEO Eric Schmidt declared, the trend has been that mobile is winning, but it is now won. When you think about what's gone on in the marketplace, U.S. smartphone penetration hit 75% in 2014. And though consumer behavior may not necessarily be uniform, the other major trend that we're seeing is that PCs have actually become secondary to smartphones and tablets when we think about internet searches in today's market. Now, options abound in terms of how people are looking at going to market with this technology. And everybody says, what will win in the marketplace? Well, the first thing that I tell everybody is QR codes are alive and well. And I get mixed reviews when I talk to you and your peers in the marketplace. But we're looking at what some of the leading marketers are, in fact, actually doing. One of the most interesting commentaries was from Macy's Chief Marketing Officer, Martine Reardon. And basically what they've done is they've done a huge push towards QR codes. And what she said is, for Macy's, it's clear that mobile barcodes are still relevant. She states that it's because we want the customers to be able to choose how they interact. There's different ways that consumers will go through the QR code versus tools like image recognition. And our view of the market is that they will both continue to exist. Now, some interesting scenarios that happened around the holiday season. Thanksgiving weekend, Macy's really did a good job at drumming up excitement for Black Friday shoppers. And what they did is they enabled users of its mobile app to scan QR codes while they were in the store and receive digital gift discounts and prizes. And so while you were in the store, that QR code could drive an instant win experience. They ran television commercials. And they made sure that people knew that there were $1 million in prizes during Black Friday sales that began at 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. And so what you saw was customers had the chance to unlock up to $250 in gifts when they used the Macy's mobile app to scan those QR codes. Now, another example is Target stores. And Target stores did a great job at building out QR code applications this past holiday season. And what they did is they used the QR code to make shopping easier. They blended in QR codes with their point of purchase signage, and they used them on all of the hottest toys. Scanning the QR code could take that shopper to a mobile site that allowed the customer to actually buy the toy, and they could have it delivered anywhere in the country for free. Now, think about it. If your grandma or grandpa and you've got grandchildren scattered around the country, you could actually go to the store, see the merchandise, scan the QR code, and have it delivered at no charge wherever you wanted it to go. The other big impact that Target saw was sometimes mom and dad couldn't leave the kids at home, and so they had to take them shopping. Well, guess what? I could scan the QR code and have it delivered at no charge to my house so that the little kids that were waiting for Santa would be surprised. Now, the next major technology that we're seeing out there is near-field communication. And the question everybody's asking is, will NFC technology win? The answer is, the jury's out. But what we are seeing is that the number of phones that will be NFC-enabled by the end of 2015 will surpass a billion. We also saw Apple, while they restricted the use to the iPhone 6, we did see Apple embed NFC technology in the iPhone 6. We're seeing a number of interesting applications. If you look at Clear Channel, what they did is they actually have fitted up transit shelters such that I can use an NFC code from the transit shelter and link my sign to whatever that NFC tag is designed to do. And the next technology is this whole concept of image recognition and augmented reality. And again, what we're seeing are a number of applications that are popping up in the marketplace. If you look at the IKEA 2014 catalog, they did a great job at creating that catalog with bonus materials. And what they did is they included digital content and you could download an augmented reality app. Basically, what would happen is that the user could activate 50 bonus pages to reveal what they categorize as a decorator's virtual paradise. And what I could do is I could actually select items. I could look at the room that I'm in, and I could get a 360, 180 degree of the view of the room, and I could look at what that space would look like if I, in fact, overlaid that piece of furniture in my space. So, again, a pretty powerful tool set. Now, we're also seeing our service providers that are stepping up to the challenge. One of my favorite examples happens to be an example out of the UK, and it's from Precision. And what they've done is they've actually built out positioning, and the present CEO is Gary Peeling. And what Gary's done is he said, here's my message to my customers. Digital loves print. They built out an application called the Mobilizer. And what it the underlying technology is from DocuMobi. And what they've done is they've enabled end consumers to scan printed materials and initiate a conversation online with a swish and a click. What it does is it's designed so that a piece of paper can basically, with this image recognition technology, keep customers engaged in a brand's conversation wherever they happen to be. There's also a GPS component where customers are able to receive personalized information and local content by hovering a mobile device over the request for more information. So, again, a pretty interesting approach in terms of leveraging image recognition and people embracing the technology. Another example that we've seen is Buffalo Printing. And what Joe Farage did is he's using tools and technology that actually let him convert documents seamlessly to searchable mobile versions. And basically what happens then is the apps that are generated can be made available in the iTunes Store, Google Play, or the Amazon App Store. What he's done is he's built out a separate division, and he's calling that division Fulminology. And basically, when you ask about the name, which I think is kind of interesting, is Fulminology is a real word. It's the science of lightning. And he's using that to communicate that the company is engaged in the science of electronic distribution. The basic way that it works is it will take an all PDF workflow and it will repurpose that content for any mobile device. In addition to, and it can include a desktop, tablet, or a web-enabled smartphone. The other component is that what you've got the ability to do is incorporate rich email, and it's shareable via email, social networks. In addition, he's using a system with robust analytics that can help customers understand what has value and what doesn't. And so if no one's looking at the content, you can discern that by tracking the analytics. Now, Joe happens to be using a tool set called GT Excel. There are a number of applications available in the marketplace that perform similar functions. They include Bluetoad, the Adobe Digital Publishing Suite, and any number of applications. So the message inside is, it's time to take a look at how you want to repurpose content for the mobile world. And there are tools that, as service providers today, you need to be very cognizant of, because it's the way that your customers are going to want to do business. And again, those tool sets let you repurpose PDF workflow for any mobile platform or PC platform. And then, oh, by the way, they'll let you do things like add rich media to those mobile editions. Now, the next thing, and people will sit down and say, boy, this is a little far afield, but think about this for just a minute. Wearable technology. When you think about what happened in 2014, consumers witnessed high-profile launches of the iWatch, Google Glass, went to work in certain industries, including manufacturing, for the first time. And there are tools out there today where you can actually sit down and figure out how you're going to leverage them. As an example, Blipper, which is an augmented reality tool, and they recently purchased Layer, demonstrated a mobile app for Google Glass. Now, here's the thing. You've got to look at what wearable technology takes. We've got Google Glass out there. There are watches. I know that I go everywhere with my Fitbit. There are bracelets. And the potential, when you think about that technology, is tremendous. You know, it's hands-free, heads-up technology, and it's going to reshape how work gets done, how decisions get made, how you engage with employees, customers, and partners. And the scenarios and the data that's garnered from that wearable technology is enormous. And so it's, in our opinion, at some point in time, going to actually transform the marketplace. Now, this next slide gets you to at least think about some of the options. When you look at worldwide shipments of wearable devices, and I'm betting that 50% of the audience has a wearable device of some sort on today, but wearable shipments are expected to increase 3 times and they will surpass 19 million in 2014. Believe it or not, shipments are projected to show a compound annual growth rate of 78.4%, reaching 112 billion units by the time we hit 2018. That's a big number. But what you've got to think about is, what's the implication for your customer base? And you want to start learning about that process today. When you think about Blipper, I can sit down, and if I've got my augmented reality application, and you look at it in terms of that app, all I have to do is say glass scan, and it will experience interactive pages as they exist in the marketplace. It's going to yield data, and more data. And you're going to have to sit down and understand what some of the platforms are that are emerging for data-driven life solutions that will collect, aggregate, and disseminate information from things like medical devices, sensor-enabled wristwear, headsets, glasses, and by the way, even tech-sensitive clothing. And there are a lot of firms that are entering the activity tracker market. You know, it's Sony, it's Garmin, it's GlassUp, it's Pebble. And there are a number of solutions out there, some of which are yet to be defined, but that are driving data analytics and predictive modeling. It includes Q, Recall, Donna, Tempo, MindMeld, to name a few, all of which for the print service community are not necessarily household words. And then you have to think about your customer base. Think about the healthcare insurance company who, if they knew that you were regularly exercising, could potentially give you a reduced rate on insurance. All of those things play a role in the future of what kind of personalization, customized print, and communications you're going to be generating for your customer base. And what the customers that you're dealing with really want to do is they want to deliver an interactive experience. In fact, what people said in the Gartner's CMO 2015 Eye on the Buyer report was that the customer experience was the top marketing technology investment in 2014. It averaged 18% of the total marketing budget. The customer experience was also ranked as the number one innovation project as we look at 2015. And mobile is going to continue to evolve and grow print and other channels, and it's going to become a critical part of the customer experience. You're going to look at these offline channels like print, and that's going to be used as a springboard for online engagement and the use of mobile technology. You're going to see mobile-enabled ads, brochures, postcards, out-of-home advertising, packaging, labels, T-shirts. And they're all going to drive new ways to interact and engage with customers. And so what you've got to look at is, what can I do with some of those technologies? This slide has three or four different examples. And basically, what you've got is a magazine ad, where what it does is it links to recipes. If you went in Macy's this past holiday season, they had floor graphics. And what those floor graphics did was it actually, when you photographed it with augmented reality, a pop-up caricature would appear next to your son or your daughter. Walmart actually set up virtual toy stores so that I could, in fact, order gifts from a wide-format sign. I think what you're going to see is that the ability to blend print and mobile will be limited only by your imagination and your willingness to work with customers to engage. Now, the other thing that you're going to start to see are new technologies emerge that will help you in terms of tracking and engaging to determine return on investment. This morning, I had an interview with a company that probably no one on the line has heard of called Powatags, Powatags. And what they've done is they're a provider of NFC tags and QR codes, but what they've also built out is a comprehensive tracking system so that they can understand who, what, where, and when that actual customer was engaged. So it's not just the technology itself. It's the platform that you're going to need to use to support understanding where the engagement took place. You really need to take a long, hard look at things like image recognition, NFC tags, QR codes, and the mobile applications out there that are going to help you enhance that overall customer experience. Now, the next major component is automation. And marketing automation is continuing to evolve. But it really refers to those technology platforms that enable marketers to more effectively deliver content to multiple media channels and automate as many tasks as humanly possible. when you think about marketers and the clients that you deal with, they're more accountable than ever before for generating those sales results. Well, what does that mean? That means deploying technology platforms that it can engage with old and new customers. And what they want to do is increase lead generation, increase inbound traffic, and ultimately nurture those relationships so that that lead becomes a customer. According to Focus Research, marketing automation is the fastest growth area of any CRM-related segment in the past 5 years. Gartner indicates that companies that are automating lead management will actually see a 10% increase or even greater in revenue in 6 to 9 months. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, marketers and service providers have plenty of tools and features to explore in 2015, and I think they have even more to look forward to than they did a decade ago. The real question that you have to be asking yourself is, how can I help my customers automatically deploy a campaign that might have print, email, a website, social media, and then track those prospects through the funnel? Options abound. You've got EFI with Direct Smile, XMPI, PTI's Precision Marketing, but there are other companies out there, companies like HubSpot, Pardot, Acton, Oracle, Eloqua, and Marketo. So it's time to think about all of those trends that are impacting that end customer, and that's really the marketing executive. Now, the next big thing that we're seeing is the innovative use of technology. And right now there are tons of options for you, and sometimes I tell folks it's as simple as a piece of paper, and there are more substrates, more inks, and leveraging some of the paper technologies in the market opens opportunity. We're going to continue to see investment in inkjet. Infotrend sees 3D printing as a game changer, and large format is going to continue to be an integral part of the mix. Let's spend just a minute on each of these topics. First of all, I tell folks that paper is sacred and it holds a huge role in the history of human interaction. Think about it for just a minute. Whether it's a birth certificate or a college diploma, what you're finding is those special events are captured with a paper document. The color, the look, the feel, the texture, and the weight of the paper can add further depth and character to that printed piece. Options abound, ranging from PVC to vinyl to pressure sensitive to specialty photo papers. And what you've got to look at is, of those papers, what could help you in terms of opening new market opportunities? We're also seeing the suppliers emphasize things like specialty inks, white, silver, gold, and more. It's opening new opportunity for greeting cards, direct mailers, banners, signs, labels, packaging, decal, and point of purchase display. Now, the other thing that I think we all know intuitively is that the real growth in the market is going to occur with those digital color devices. We actually do a forecast every year, and this is the InfoTrends forecast that looks from 2013 to 2018. And what we're seeing is that the biggest growth is going to occur in digital color, and it will continue in terms of retail value of print to grow at a 2.1% compound annual growth rate. Now, the color side of that, process color, is going to grow at a 3.9% compound annual growth rate, while black and white will decline. But the other major component inside of it is what's going on with inkjet. And we look at the digital color market, and basically, if you look at 2013, total color volume was about 160 billion impressions. That's going to grow to 320 billion by the time we reach 2018. Now, a big driver of that is going to be the production inkjet market. In 2013, it was about 37% of total production. That's going to climb to 61% by 2018. And that's going to happen, well, traditional cut sheet and electrophotographic type pages also continues to grow at a healthy rate. What you're going to see on the inkjet side is that it will benefit from increase of higher resolution heads for single pass printing. There'll be new ink chemistries that emerge that can address a growing range of substrates. Technology will become more affordable. And taken together with those developments, it will make it possible for higher quality graphics to be produced on substrates ranging from plain paper to machine-coated offset papers. So the drivers on this are going to be clearly technology, and the result is going to be that inkjet's going to be used for more personalized application. It will rival offset for some of the traditional volumes. And so it's time for everybody to look at and pay attention to the inkjet developments as they build strategies to take them out in the future. One of the other things that we do is we actually track those applications that are digitally produced. And this is a pretty good representation of the applications that were top applications that were produced in terms of digitally produced application. Now, the next major component that we want to look at is 3D printing. And there's been a ton of buzz around 3D printing. It really was formerly known as additive manufacturing. And it's capturing a lot of interest from both the industry as well as consumers. The opinions on the technology vary, and they run the gamut. Some people think it's going to be the start of the next industrial revolution. Others think it's going to be the domain of geeks and hobbyists. Well, it's still young. The cost of 3D printers has fallen dramatically, and hence the demand is high. People are experimenting to figure out exactly where it fits. In the last several years, we've seen growing demand from consumers for products and solutions that better fit their lifestyle, all the way to manufactured parts. And what we're seeing is that basically it can be a game changer for large swaths of the industry. First and foremost, there will continue to be developments and prices will fall, but we'll see it used for everything from faster design prototyping, to some custom manufacturing, to miniaturization, all the way through to what I categorize as trinkets and trash, but new jewelry, toys, those types of things. This is kind of an interesting example, but it could even change your kitchen. This is an example where ChefJet 3D printer actually printed desserts and candies, and they said it was pretty tasty. Now, what we're seeing, though, is that it's not just going to be for hobbyists. If you look at the 3D projections from Gartner, published in September 2013, and Wells Fargo Management in 2014, projections for growth are significant. And the growth is going to occur in that enterprise segment where more and more companies are going to start to experiment with where it will fit to help them drive business. And we're seeing a lot of businesses start to get in the game. There's a company called Shapeways, and it's a leading 3D marketplace printer. And what it's doing is it's empowering designers to bring products to life. It's giving them the ability to quickly and affordably turn ideas from digital design into real products. It's located in Long Island. And they're really working hard to turn, you know, raw materials into original products. They're doing work that includes everything from, you know, wedding rings to model trains to iPhone cases. We're also seeing companies like Staples and the UPS stores that are testing out the technology to get in the game. Another area that's going to continue to get focus is wide format. And one of the big things that we're finding is that signage is a vital part of the marketing mix. Marketers recognize that businesses and advertising signs are extremely effective in terms of communication. They help people find businesses. They reach people who are passing by an establishment. They represent that image for the business. And they inform people about an organization, its brands, and its actual selling proposition. The other big component is that I can now integrate and drive people to take action as I embed interactive elements. Our projections are that the wide format retail value in the market is going to continue to grow at a 6.7% compound annual growth rate. The other big thing about this market is that we're seeing commercial printers get in the game. And the logic, as well as, by the way, the implant marketplace. The logic behind this, by the way, is that firms with bigger marketing budgets have a propensity to want to do one-stop shopping. And so what they'd like to be able to do is, if I'm ordering my brochures and my other materials from that specific printer, why wouldn't I, as long as they've got my artwork, order my large format materials simultaneously? Now, the other thing that we've asked people is what types of equipment they have at their site. And what you can see is the beat goes on relative to the investment in printing equipment. You're seeing growth in all facets of the market in terms of where they're headed, and especially in the concepts around wide format. We're seeing these commercial printers start making a move, and this gives examples of the types of companies ranging from Seabridge Media to PIP Printing, where they're driving wide format technology in their specific business. So when you think about it, technology is important. The areas of growth are clearly going to be digital color, an emphasis on inkjet, wide format, and then the ability to look at what those suppliers in the marketplace are doing with substrates and specialty inks. Now, the next component is infrastructure. And what I tell everybody, you know, technology is a balancing act. And what you need to understand is that, you know, workflow really counts. Marketing and customer education is absolutely critical. Strong sales teams are going to lead you to better results. And we see the emergence of a new position in the market, and I call that the marketing technologist. So let me spend a minute on each of these. What we do know is that the marketing leaders are going to have the right infrastructure in place. And that's going to include physical and organizational structures that will help the organization achieve success in the sale and delivery of products, services, and solutions. It's the right blend of equipment, software, and human capital that's going to be absolutely essential to delivering results in 2015. Now, when you think about it, what we're seeing today is that if I'm that service provider, what I'm doing is I'm making sure that I've got the right focus to look at the efficiencies that my organization is delivering, and I need to make sure that I've got the abilities in place not just to drive more revenue, but to make sure that that revenue is incredibly profitable revenue. And so what that means is automation and making sure that what you've done is you've focused on production, cost, and improving efficiency. And in fact, we asked your peers in our software investment outlook study in 2014 what their focus was and what their most important strategic business direction was for the next 5 years. Number one, being the most cost-effective producer, followed by expanding new services and applications. Now, I talked about this a little earlier, but one of the things that I mentioned is that the top print service providers in the marketplace have invested more in sales and marketing. The reason for that is they've already taken the initiative to ensure that they've got efficient running operations today. Now, the next big thing is taking the time to educate your customers. And basically, when you look at the B2B market space, B2B marketers, or buyers rather, want to have as much information as possible before they make a purchasing decision. What you're seeing is that when you look at that B2B buyer, 86% of B2B marketers are using content to educate that B2B customer. The majority of the companies online today for the webinar are B2B firms. And what you're seeing is that they want to make sure that they've got adequate content to deal with the 3, 4, or 5 people at various management levels that are looking for information about a decision. They want to implement strategies that those B2B marketing firms that can help them grow their business. And they want to understand with for you as a B2B supplier how you can help them either make or save money to increase their end overall profitability. And so you need to look at the richness of the content that you're sharing with your customers about how the services that you offer can help them overcome obstacles that include things like business growth and solve their problems. If you're delivering that right content, it's going to build credibility with that B2B decision maker. It'll help you attract new prospects, and it also positions you as a thought leader in the marketplace. Now, we've seen some companies that are doing a great job at taking a leadership posture in educating customers. One of the ones that does a great job and that publishes a blog every Tuesday targeted at B2B buyers is 2Ks. And 2Ks has a blog. It's called Tuesday with 2Ks. And they're educating their customers on an array of topics ranging from big data to NFC tags. Onasco in Waukegan, Illinois, used its blog to educate clients on the packaging market and how digital technology can actually impact brand building. It's really focused on educating the readers on the value of personalization for packaging, color consistency, and it provides great insight on how technologies can support the unique needs of a brand owner. And then McCardle Solutions in Washington does a semi-monthly publication to its customers, and it calls it Connect. And it's really honed in on business issues, and it provides insight relative to how to leverage print media. McCardle also does a great job at providing webinars, on-site training seminars to help their customers navigate through the maze of technologies that are out there. They've done topics on everything from B2B social media to what's new in the Adobe Creative Cloud. So, again, looking at that customer, and I always think that that Sims, the department's right, when it said an educated consumer is your best customer. And that's what the successful firms are trying to do. Now, we're also seeing the emergence of a new position. And I challenge service providers out there to think about this position. But that's the rise of what we categorize as a marketing technologist. And basically, organizations of all sizes recognize the importance of emerging technologies as it relates to marketers. 21% of B2B marketers believe that marketing technology is a critical driver to meet a company's business objectives. What they're saying is that they're going to invest in technologies, and in 2 years, that will reach 60%. Now, that being said, to be a partner in that digital world, you're going to need to have someone that is tech savvy and understands how to blend new marketing technologies with print. People are heavily engaged with their smartphones and their mobile phones, and they're using them to manage their work and their personal lives. Print providers that aren't looking at outside technologies are going to be in trouble. In 2015, this new position is going to emerge, the marketing technologist. Service providers are going to need to identify the right talent that's going to integrate the digital world with marketing strategies that have worked best in the past and come up with new approaches for both their businesses and their customers. Now, one of the things that was published by Gartner was a study that talked about the primary responsibilities of the chief marketing technologist. And think about it. They're equally applicable regardless of the business segment you're in. It's aligning marketing technology with business goals. It's facilitating projects and communication between marketing and IT. It's selecting, evaluating, and choosing the right marketing technology provider. All of those things are going to be absolutely essential for you and your business. And the last major area that we're seeing of essential in terms of infrastructure is sales. And I mentioned that, you know, 25% of the double-digit growth firms, or 25% of the resources, the double-digit growth firms, are invested in marketing and sales. Growing sales is going to require the right people, and salespeople aren't, you know, responsible for the bottom line, strictly the bottom line. They're the organization's frontline troops. They're the most important point of contact with your customers. The sales team, from a senior management perspective, needs to be very, very well directed. You, as an owner of a business, need to define the products, services, and solutions they should sell. And you need to make sure that the salespeople have the ongoing skills, especially in light of all the emerging technology, to be effective. Sales education is not a one-time initiative. It says that I've got to continue to reinvest in my salespeople to grow my business. You know, the vendors that supply you have invested heavily in business development. There are a number of organizations out there that can help you in terms of how to educate your salespeople to apply technical and product training and position your reps to articulate your value proposition. And so you really need to hone in on what you're doing in terms of your selling infrastructure as you look at 2015. So what I'd share with you is, you know, we're at the start of another year, and it's really time for you to look at the right business focus and strategies that you need to have in place. I'm optimistic. I mean, there are a number of lucrative opportunities that are worth pursuing. There's innovations in print technology. There's the cloud, mobile, data analytics, social networking, and all of those are designed to fuel new business opportunities. You're going to have to take the time to look at technology ranging from enhanced personalization to mobile to the right sales force. You're going to have to make the right technology investments and decisions. You're going to need to build infrastructure for your business. And you're going to need to understand what marketers and your end customers want and need. You're going to have to innovatively deploy current and new technology, create new opportunities, and really embrace the transformative technology and shifting economies will also leverage change to grow a profitable business. Now, what I tell everybody in one of my favorite quotes is that your life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. I'm going to open it and stay on the line for just a second and see if there are any questions out there. It's a little hard to talk and look at questions at the same time. But if you have any questions, I'll hold for a minute. If not, what I will tell you is that my email is barb.pello@infotrends.com. Feel free to send me an email message. I'd be delighted to help in any way possible. I would also like to take a second to say thanks to Canon Solutions America for sponsoring the webinar. And if you have a minute, we'd appreciate it if you take a quick feedback survey. I do have one question in here, and the question was, what are some good analytics systems and programs to use? There's a number of them out there. It really depends, and I mentioned a couple of them. I've got to go through my note, but there's a number of analytics systems that are attached to CRM systems ranging from, Marketo to Loqua to HubSpot. There's a number of emerging ones that offer platforms in terms of some of the wearable technologies. What I'll do is I'm going to tell the individual that sent me the note, shoot me a message, and if you could send a note sharing with me where you are, and I will forward some insight. Some of the players and some of the ones that are emerging are tools like QCUE, Recall, Donna, Tempo, MindMeld, Evernote, Ocito, and Dark Sky. And those are just a few of them But feel free to send me a note or give me a call, and I'd be delighted to look at where you're headed with your business and you know, share some additional insight with you. Well, if that's it, I am going to thank everybody for their time and attention. And you've got my email, and again, thanks to Canon Solutions America. Have a great rest of the day.